Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I don't know what this says about the Super Bowl matchup, and maybe we can talk about this a little bit, Rich, about what America wants to see in terms of the two teams that came out of yesterday's games.
It's not what I wanted to see, that's for
no,
sure.
No, I get that. I'm just talking about general box office here.
Yeah.
The early game was the lowest rated early window game since 2013. The late game, Patriots and Chiefs, was the highest rated late window game on championship weekend since 2012. Say what you will about everybody having Patriot fatigue, the numbers say a different story. The numbers say a lot of people, I don't know, maybe I'm going too far by saying they enjoy watching greatness, but they watch greatness.
Yep.
Now, whether they enjoy it or not, I don't know. But people generally do things that they enjoy or they at least find compelling.
True.
And whether you enjoy this Patriots run or not, it is undoubtedly compelling. Watch Tom Brady do what he does at this age is absolutely remarkable.
You know how I feel. Enough.
You're done with them?
I've had enough of Brady and Belichick, yes. By the way.
I thought I had, but I'm kind of liking this renaissance.
Did you happen to see the camera cut to Bill Belichick right after the touchdown toss from Mahomes to Williams?
Throwing his Microsoft Surface?
Not just that. He dropped an FNBS, which was great.
Yeah.
That's FNBS.
It's good to see him emotional. Yeah. See that he's human.
No, he's not.
When you cut him, does he not bleed?
No, he doesn't. He's not human.
When you cut him, you see wires.
That's right. Exactly.
Gizmos. All right. All due respect, stupid people doing stupid things. Rich, the floor is yours.
Yeah, I'm going to pull something from yesterday's action. Actually, yesterday's post-game action for my with all due respect story. And I'll preface this whole story with the guy you're hearing speaking right now on your radio. Yeah, I accidentally dropped an F-bomb once on the air.
Once, but you've been doing radio for like 60 years.
Only once.
Yeah.
And was not the best moment for me on the air.
That's a pretty good ratio, though, Rich. As long as you've been doing this, just right. One time.
So Tom Brady's been playing football. No, I was going to say about as long as I've been on the radio, but
Rich,
I've been on the radio a lot longer.
Yeah, well, it feels like he's been playing football
yes,
as long
Brady's
as you've been doing radio.
Football career is equivalent to how long I've been fortunate enough to be on the radio. And immediately after the overtime win over the Chiefs yesterday, Jim Nance threw down to Evan Washburn on the field for an interview with a emotional Tom Brady. This is literally seconds after they clinched their ninth trip to the Super Bowl, Brady and Belichick being them, of course. And
that's incredible.
I'm going to credit Deadspin with what you're about to hear. They did the editing. They pulled what you're about to hear. And this is how the interview began.
What's it mean, after all of that, to head back to the Super Bowl?
I first want to say hi to my wife. I love you so much. I'm coming home. Mom, Dad at home, my sisters, all my family. Thanks for your love and support. And all our fans back home. Way to go, man. What a year. What was your question?
Just what it means to go back to Super Bowl.
I'm unbelievable, bro. This is crazy. What a game. I'm unbelievable, bro.
Why did he keep saying it over and over again?
Well,
it seems like overkill.
Deadspin did the editing there.
Oh, that was edited?
It was edited, of course.
Okay.
The thing that I like the most about this, and again, far be it from me for me to condemn anyone for dropping an F-bomb on the air.
Because you've done it once in 40 years.
But I also think, generally speaking, it's much ado about not so much. But anyway, you get me going on a whole different tangent about language on the air and so forth. But my favorite part is Tom Brady interrupts Evan Washburn's question at the beginning of the interview and goes down the list. Mom, dad, sister, wife, whole family, fans. So he's already engaged mom and dad, his sister, his wife, seconds before this.
I'm unbelievable, bro.
With all due respect, I just love thinking about his family cringing when they heard that. That's all. That's where my enjoyment from this story comes from. He just threw out a nice warm and fuzzy to the family, his loved ones. Aww. And Giselle is probably somewhere, you know, dabbing a tear and, oh, he mentioned us.
And yeah, then he drops an F-bomb.
And then seconds later, he...
Well, I'm unbelievable, bro.
Yeah.
He drops an F-bomb. I just love that.
So that was Evan Washburn?
It was.
Okay, because I know Jay Feely was doing sidelines on that game, and I couldn't tell.
To him on kicking stuff.
Yeah, I get. You know, Jay Feely was a college teammate of Tom Brady's.
I did not realize that.
Yeah, that's why when I had heard that audio, I'm like, well, I could see where if it was Jay Feely doing the interview there, like Brady
Washburn.
would get a little swept up in the moment.
Chiefs.
Swept up in the moment and...
I wonder, you know, if he would have
forgets that he's on TV. Feels like he's just, especially because he dropped a bro.
Would he have dropped the F-bomb if it was Tracy Wolfson doing the interview?
I'm going to say yes. He was swept up in emotion.
Well, he couldn't invoke bro.
But that wasn't your question.
Right. No, you're right.
Your question was about the F-bomb. Yeah. And Tracy Wolfson's like one of the guys. You know, she's there all the time. Yeah. She's part of that Romo. Romo Nance crew.
And me being me, obviously we weren't watching it live.
Mm-hmm.
We were about maybe an hour behind real time. Jenny was watching it with me, and he uttered that. What was it again, Ben?
Unbelievable, bro.
This is pounding my brain.
And I immediately paused the recording. I said, wait a minute. I think Brady might have just dropped an F-bomb on the air. And Jenny went, no, he didn't do that. And sure enough,
he did. Did you rewind it as many times in live form yesterday as you did just now with Ben?
Did you
go back and watch it?
Probably more.
More. All right. My story has to do with the other game, the Saints and the Rams. And the reason I'm pausing is because, hey, Ben, can you re-cue up the pass interference? I want to play that before I play the rest of my audio here. I want to reset the stage.
Okay.
And I feel like everybody's seen the play and maybe even watched it in real time. But I feel like the audio I'm about to play here before we get to the audio that's the crux of my story kind of, I think maybe is emblematic of the egregiousness that most people feel about this non-pass interference call. This is the New Orleans Saints home radio call of that play.
Third down and 10, Breeze from the gun, takes a snap, goes to the near side, hit early, where's the flag?
You don't get one.
Early hit on Tommy Lee. Sean Payton is all the way down at the 10. Unbelievable no call.
Wow. Not a flag to be found.
Unbelievable.
That's the second time. You can't challenge him. I mean, he doesn't even look for the ball.
Mikel Roby Coleman.
That's the second time Mikel Roby Coleman has gotten away with a play like that.
He is 4 yards before the ball is there.
All right, so they were pretty worked up about that, and they still are today in New Orleans, is my guess. Well, Todd Gurley, who we just talked about in the previous segment.
That was Zach Streif and Deuce McAllister,
Zach Streif is the person whose name I couldn't remember. Former offensive lineman who's now the play-by-play guy, which is a weird career transition.
It is.
Deuce McAllister, I knew, was the analyst. So Gurley, who did not have a great game, but still obviously ecstatic that his team is on their way to the Super Bowl, he had some Photoshop fun on Sunday in the moments following the game. I don't know if you saw this or not, Rich. On Todd Gurley's Instagram, he posted a photo of himself and referee Bill Vinovich swapping jerseys. You know, kind of that gesture that NFL players do where they trade jerseys after a game.
I read about this. I didn't see it.
I'll show you the picture. they take pictures with each other holding the other guy's jersey up. Well, the picture is Gurley holding a referee's jersey and a clearly photoshopped Vinovich holding a Todd Gurley jersey.
It's still genius.
It's hilarious. And I will say this, just as an aside, before I get to the crux of my all due respect story, is that I feel like the Rams have handled the gift from the football gods that they received. I feel like they've handled it with the perfect amount of self-deprecation.
Right.
That Gurley acknowledges it in a way like this, that Mikel Roby Coleman, who was the beneficiary of the swallowed whistle on that play,
right,
has basically come out and said,
"Of course, it was a penalty.
I interfered.
Of course, I interfered.
Yeah, I was beat. I had to hit the guy.
Right, which has caused some to say, you know, if the guilty party publicly admits he did what the referees decided he didn't do,
then we should go back and start the game over from that spot.
Should that be enough rationale for Goodell to invoke Article, you know, Chapter?
Hope y'all are enjoying your empty segments. All right, so Gurley puts this picture up, clearly photoshopped. Rich, I think even you, who's not necessarily the social media savvy, I think even you can tell that's a pretty large melon that Vinovich has on that. You know, compared to Todd Gurley, like it's a little, you know, the sizing proportion is not perfect, right?
It's not bad though.
It's a decent photoshopping job, but clearly photoshopped.
Yeah.
Well, there was one particular media personality, part of our sister station in New York, WFAN.
FAN, yeah.
Hosting the same time slot you and I do, Rich, that was a little taken aback that the officials in this game would have the gall to swap jerseys before the game.
You mean the blowhard?
With one of the opposing players.
I gave you the referee's name, who ran the group, and who said to the pool reporter that it was a judgment call, and he wasn't even sure what call they were talking about. If you were the referee of that game, and you didn't realize you had a problem on your hands, and that is your honest statement, you should be fired. You should never have another jersey, whether you exchange them with players before the game, which should be an outrageous thing to begin with. No way should an official be exchanging jerseys with a player before a game. That's such a bad thing to do, number one. Number two, they have to stay distant from the players.
That's Mike Francesa.
Does it make me a bad person?
Afternoon host on WFAN.
When I revel in Francesa being embarrassed.
Someone got in his ear during the break, apparently, because the next tweet down from that online.
Man.
And I'll credit our producer, Brian McDonald, for DMing that link to me. So, BMAC.
Such a blowhard.
Nice job still producing the show, even on a day where you're on vacation. Somebody got in his ear, and he made like a 9-second correction. Like,
of course he did.
I heard that it was Photoshop, so sorry about that. But with all due respect, dude, you got to know that's photoshopped. That the ref didn't exchange jerseys. Do you really think Gurley is that square that the person he seeks out to go exchange jerseys with before or after the game is the head referee? And that Vinovich, as bad as he's handled this call, and if you read the transcripts of the pool report after the game, where you know these refs have to answer to a reporter after the game, the transcripts read terribly for Vinovich in there, where he's basically saying, "Yeah, I haven't seen the play yet." Like, dude, come on, you telling me they didn't play it on the Jumbotron in the stadium a few times while you were in there?
Yeah,
bad look.
Let's get back to Francesa.
Officiating's at an all-time low. I'm choking. Officiating is at an all-time low in the NBA and the NFL.
It's a problem.
That call,
on that we agree.
Kevin Durant basically taking 5 steps out of bounds in an NBA game and everybody just sits there and watches. I feel like there are more horrific calls or non-calls in sports nowadays than there have ever been.
Yes, and then, you know what else there is a lot of? That's nowhere near the first time that someone's pulled the wool over Francesa's eyes. It might be my favorite thing in broadcasting today is when people troll Mike Francesa.
I know. He gets paid a lot of money, though. It's paid a lot of money to be trolled. I tell you what, Rich, would I swap W-2s with Mike Francesa if it meant getting clowned as much as Mike Francesa?
I think that's a no-brainer.
Dude, you could clown me every day of the week and twice on Sundays.
I'd have thick skin.
Yeah, yeah. That said, pretty funny. All right, that was all due respect, stupid people doing stupid things.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.